building on the three roundtables that we have done, and most importantly on the unprecedented national survey that we did that really exposed this problem, this legislation is going to go a long way towards providing the kind of processes and environment on college campuses that will hold perpetrators accountable and do a much better job of protecting the survivors of sexual assault who are assaulted while they are a college student. Briefly, we have five sections of the bill. Essentially, the first establishes new resources and support services for student survivors. The second section sets out minimum training standards for on-campus personnel. The third section creates new transparency requirements, which is very important, that will allow apples-to-apples comparison year-to-year on how campuses are doing with this issue, how safe students feel, and will provide, I think, a lot more guidance to parents as they look at potential locations where their child is thinking about attending school. The fourth section increases the accountability on campus and coordination with law enforcement. And then the fifth section establishes penalties, new and different kinds of penalties than the current law for violations of both Title IX and for the CLARI Act reporting standard violations. So I'm happy to answer any specifics about any of these sections, but wanted to lay them out in broad strokes, and but happy to go into any of them in detail that you would like me to.
Senator, I just got a news release from Senator Boxer that says Senator Boxer and Congresswoman Davis have introduced the bill to provide survivors and so on with on-campus advocates and so on. Is this a different bill than what you're talking about today, or is she taking credit for being the sponsor? Are you a co-sponsor? What's the status on this?
I have no idea what bill she's referring to.
Okay.
I don't believe it's not our bill.
It's called the SOS Campus Act.
I think she's actually interested in working with us on our bill. She's not one of the original co-sponsors, but I'm confident she'll be supportive. But I'm not aware of what bill she's introduced.
Senator, this is Jack Miles at the Star Journal. Are you concerned that schools that actually do a really good job of reporting and therefore show a high number of incidents will look bad, and that those schools that don't do a good job of reporting will look good? And how it looks doesn't matter so much as whether parents looking at these reports send their kids to those schools.
Well, the one thing I would say is that any parent who is looking at a college or university and sees that they have had no incidents of sexual assault or very few incidents of sexual assault, run from that university because they are not taking the problem seriously. I would have a lot more confidence in a university who was reporting a number of these incidents, because that means they're actually following the law and tracking the statistics and in all likelihood doing a much better job of investigating them. Now, the good news is about our legislation is now there's going to be a requirement of a climate survey. So we have the endemic problem of underreporting that sometimes is reflected in misleading statistics under the CLARI Act requirements. The climate survey will be a different survey that will be done that will be a very simple, straightforward. It will be provided online. It will be done anonymously, and it will measure a few simple things like, have you been assaulted? Do you feel safe on campus? Do you know about the resources that are available if you have been assaulted? Have you been made aware of those? Those are the kinds of things that we want to have surveyed so that we get an accurate representation of what the climate actually is on that campus. And it is those surveys that I would want parents to rely on. That will give us apples-to-apples comparison campus to campus, and most importantly, apples-to-apples comparison year-to-year on progress. Do students feel safer this year than they felt last year? Are more students aware of the services that are available? Are there fewer incidents that are being reported on these anonymous surveys? And how do people feel about how if they were assaulted, how the process was handled?
So that's basically is a reality check that will be reported
exactly.
With the other information.
Exactly.
Right, thank you.
Senator McCaskill, this is Allison Blood with KMOX.
Yes.
I was hoping that we could kind of talk about, I mean, a lot of the things that you're talking about with this new bill are reactive, you know, to say how many people were assaulted, how the campus reacted after an assault has happened. But what kinds of things do you think we should be doing about preventing the assault from happening in the first place?
Well, I think one of the things is this is establishing these new campus resources and communicating those resources is very, very important. And part of this is going to be, there already is a requirement that people know about their rights under Title IX. But a lot of this is going to be also, we're going to try to do a lot of campaigning around this along with the White House Task Force on college campuses this fall. A lot of senators are going to be, I'm going to be doing a tour around the state to most of our college campuses talking about this. And we need the students to really embrace this as something that's important to them. We need everyone on campus to understand that it doesn't matter how much you had to drink or what you wore or who you were with or where you went, you can't be assaulted. That doesn't give anyone permission to break the law. And young people need to understand that that is, in fact, a crime and that victims don't have to have perfect judgment. And that if you witness this going on, you have a responsibility to try to stop it or at a minimum report it. So there are a lot of culture changes that need to go on here among the student body, and that's another piece of this we have to work on. But making the process transparent and holding campuses accountable are also a big piece of it, and this legislation focuses on that.
How fast do you expect this to move?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think we have a chance of this moving fairly quickly. We have worked very hard. It's been painful time to get bipartisan collaboration on this and all of us sign off on all of it. There were things I would have liked to see in the bill that didn't get in the bill because we couldn't get agreement. So we've done a lot of the hard work. We have co-sponsors that have widely divergent ideologies on this bill. But we have all come together around these principles. And I think more and more senators will join us, and we're going to make sure that it's even. For all the Republicans that join the bill, we're going to have Democrats that join the bill and vice versa. I think there's a chance we could get some floor time and pass this in fairly quick order in September. Who knows about the House? But I feel pretty confident about the Senate.
Senator Deborah Peterson at the Post-Dispatch. You say there are some things that you would have liked to have seen. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I would have liked to codify the standard of proof for these administrative procedures on campuses under Title IX. We did learn in our survey that 80% of the campuses are using the preponderance of the evidence standard, which is the standard we wanted to put in the law. So we're almost there. I mean, almost mm-hmm. all of the campuses have adopted that. And there were some Republicans that felt very strongly that they didn't want to codify the standard of proof. So I was willing, you know, I had to be willing to give that up in order to get other things in the bill that I thought were really important, like the confidential advisor provision mm-hmm. and other provisions that I think are real game changers.
Thank you.
Oh, this is Joe Manis with St. Louis Public Radio.
Yes, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, what sort of reaction have you've been getting to, on campuses in Missouri? I mean, from administrators and students, are they even really addressing or paying attention to this? I mean, Mizzou has had issues with this for years.
Well, they are paying attention, and I've had a lot of feedback from students in Missouri saying they want to help and they're excited about these provisions, and I'm hoping that I can get their involvement in pushing this legislation across the finish line. And I will say the University of Missouri has really, I think, tried to break out of the pack here and provide a model to the rest of the country. I think that Tim Wolf is really trying to make this one of his biggest priorities as the president of the University of Missouri, to try to change the culture, the processes, the climate around this issue. And I've not talked to any college administrator in Missouri who doesn't realize there's more work to be done in this area. And I see the universities in Missouri, anyway, as great partners in trying to do these reforms. I'm hopeful that the lobbying organization for universities, who has been really problematic, I hope they realize that they need to be partners with us in getting this right rather than throwing bricks at it.
Senator, what has Mr. Wolf done to become a leader for the rest of the country on this topic?
Well, I think he's, you know, they've spent an awful lot of time and energy with outside investigations as to what happened in the tragic incident of the young woman taking her life at the University of Missouri. I think he is trying to make sure that reporting channels are there, that people understand who has the obligation to report. He has called me a number of times saying, please let us know what else we can be doing. Please let us know what your legislation is in embracing, because we want to do it without being told we have to. He just has been somebody who has demonstrated to me, anyway, by almost constant contact on this subject, that he's focused on it and he wants to try to really see if he can't make a difference in this area.
Great. Thank you.
You've had some of
anybody
your,
else?
Yeah, you've had some of your harshest words for athletic departments that operate independently. Does this bill go after that problem?
It does. What this bill says is that we do not dictate what procedures universities and colleges must use, because obviously we have a wide disparity of types of facilities in this country in terms of online commuter campuses, public, private, small, big, huge. But we do say that whatever process you put in place, the people first must be trained, and secondly, it has to be one system for everyone at the university or college. So no more would we have a situation where if the alleged perpetrator was an athlete, the athletic department would handle it. If the alleged perpetrator was a garden variety student, then another system would handle it. There'll be one system for everyone, so we'll get away from the inherent conflict and the appearance of impropriety that you would have the athletic department handling the investigation over one of their athletes.
I'm assuming that this applies to non-co-ed schools as well as co-ed schools, but is the situation or the climate different on single-sex schools, campuses?
You know, I don't know that we broke that out in our strata on the survey. I think that they are obviously many fewer of those than there were. You know, I just look in Missouri when Christian College, which is now Columbia College, used to be all women, and Stevens College used to be all women, and Westminster used to be all men, and it's all gotten mixed now. And you know, you look at William Woods and Westminster; those are two facilities that are women and men, but they are mingled in campus activities and location and so forth. So I don't know that. Certainly, there's no different set of rules on those kinds of campuses that are a single gender, and I don't know. I don't have any valid statistical information about how common it is that there are these kinds of problems on those campuses.
Senator, does this apply to all schools? Doesn't regard size, as you said. What about, you know,
all
religious schools? Does that have any? Does it all schools?
All schools get federal financial aid.
Okay.
So the only way, there are a few schools in the country that turn down any form of federal financial aid.
Okay.
But there's not very many of them. So it applies to thousands of schools across the country. And we have, by the way, on the penalties, we have made them discretionary up to 1% of the operating budget. So you have a meaningful deterrent for universities in terms of doing the right thing. It doesn't really, frankly, make much difference to threaten what current law is. The only penalty they have is take away all of their federal funding, which is an unrealistic penalty, and all the universities know it. So it's like threatening with something they know is never going to happen. Now they will be threatened with a penalty that would be in line with the size of their university. So Harvard, that has a $4 billion operating budget, could have a fine up to $40 million. On the other hand, a very small school the maximum of their fine would be much, much smaller because it could only be a maximum of 1% of their operating budget, and there's obviously discretion for the fine to be even less than that.